Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
So growing up, I was told by my mom, you have to wear a layer. No, two layers, seven layers. You have to keep yourself warm. Now, some of that is common sense. But then she would say, otherwise, I think this is what she said, you will catch your death a cold. Is that how the expression went? Are you more likely to get sick if you are cold in the cold?
You actually probably are not more likely to get sick is what we consider like an upper respiratory illness, just from the cold exposure itself. In theory, we'll probably see more colds and that stuff this time of year, mostly just because we're inside and around people more. So those are more transmissible. But actually being cold, you shouldn't actually get an upper respiratory infection.
But speaking of which, are we seeing more or less COVID, more or less flu, more or less respiratory disease that is not determined, idiopathic respiratory disease, if you will, than we have in, say, compared to last year?
Compared to last year, yes. We are definitely seeing a lot of COVID, a lot of influenza A, and then a lot of RSV. This year, it's been a busy year for all of these. Partly, we think it's just because the cycles go that way, where things kind of ebb and flow. And then also this year, unfortunately, I think a lot of people become complacent after COVID and didn't get their vaccines. And so there's just a higher risk of those people actually becoming ill.
And the word is that, oh, well, if you get COVID, it's just like getting a cold. It's no big deal. Is that the way we should think? Or is that thinking concerning to a professional such as yourself?
Definitely concerning. I mean, I work in the ER, so we'd see the other end of the spectrum. And a lot of us, you know, do get COVID. And certainly it's not fun to have a respiratory infection or a flu, which, I mean, it's fever, body aches. It takes you out of work for a couple of days. And then on the other end, I think where we see people that are immunocompromised. And there are those people that can't get the vaccine. So young kids, people that have transplants, people that have cancer. And by each of us that what we may think is a cold, if you transmit that to someone else, that can be a much more serious illness for one of those immunocompromised people. So the way we sort of think of it is it's uncomfortable for the vast majority of us. That said, there are people that are not immunocompromised every year still die from the flu. It is not a minor illness. And then as a group, this is something that we should consider of us taking care of each other. So it's getting vaccinated is one step of that, but then also just being cautious when you're sick, not going out, not exposing other people can be helpful too.
Is dry air more likely to be a potential for you getting a virus? Not all of us have humidifiers in our homes or certainly not in our workplaces.
Yeah, there's not really any great evidence that dry air is. In general, these respiratory viruses are transmitted by droplet secretion. And so it shouldn't have anything to do with humidity. I think for most of us, the humidity does cause problems like chronic cough, dry nasal passages and stuff. But it shouldn't actually predispose you to being infected.
Now, I talked earlier about keeping our pets safe, which is a concern of mine in this very cold weather. And what I didn't get to that a lot of people don't talk about is geriatric dogs. Really, we ought to think about that differently, even if it's a husky, even if it's a St. Bernard, even if it is a dog that at the age of 6 could contend better with this weather, not so much at the age of 12, which is geriatric for those individual breeds, but any very old dog. Here's what I'm getting to. What about geriatric individuals? Should people just who are over the age of fill in the blank, whatever that means, just stay indoors?
Certainly, geriatric patients are a little bit more prone to causes, you know, to the effects of hypothermia. And part of that, I think we have to think about, you know, oftentimes they may just have some decreased sensation. So other medical issues that you could impact you realizing if that's cold. So people with neuropathy from diabetes or other conditions may not realize that they're being exposed as badly as they are. And then oftentimes our geriatric patients just don't move as quickly or they need other aids to transfer and move around. And so in general, with your family members that are older, in general, if they don't need to go out in weather like this, certainly wouldn't. Luckily, it's not icy right now, so we don't have to worry about falls as much. and that sort of thing. But in general, people that are geriatric, people that are immunocompromised, are going to be more susceptible to the effects of the cold.
Do you see a lot of frostbite at this time of year?
Sadly, we do. So frostbite is when there's actual freezing in the tissue. The vast majority of cases we see actually end up in our patients that are experiencing homelessness, patients with substance abuse issues or chronic mental illness, mostly because they just don't have anywhere to go. And so they're trying to hunker down outside and then don't get inside and get warmed up. We do also see it in kind of the other population we see is people that have to work outside. So I've had in the last few years, like some ComEd workers who are out on, you know, working to restore power or that are stuck outside for hours. And although they should be protected, they still are, you know, out, once you're out there this long, especially in this kind of temperature, those are the kind of people we'll tend to see with frostbite.
Excellent. Great tips. Thank you very much, as always, Dr. Matthew Kippenhahn, emergency medicine at Northwestern Medicine. Thank you. And two words of advice for you. Stay warm.
Thanks very much.